something's got to challenge us, because something is that we're not doing right. Something is that we're not doing right, friends. And I think, you know, I appreciate, Ted, your courage in being able to bring this up, take whatever heat is necessary. So praise the Lord for that. We trust that marriages will be advanced in the name of the Lord and bring glory to His name as a result. Friends, this is Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny. Our viewpoint concerning our marriages and even delay of marriage is determining destiny. So I want to urge you to seriously consider these thoughts. And then, you know, day after day, we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour. And today is one of those days. So send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Don't wait for the other guy to do it. He's not doing it, friends. And this is a tough time, a very tough time. So can we trust you? Well, we'll trust God to speak in your life. God bless you. Be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
I'm better.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news and the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Sheriff Glenn Palmer, who's up, I believe, in Oregon. And, of course, we have with us on the line Kirk McKenzie. And Sheriff Palmer, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you so very much for being with us, and certainly... being a sheriff, I know, is a tremendous responsibility, but especially in times like this, when certainly the rights of people seem to be increasingly being lost because of misinterpretation of the power of government over their lives. And I understand that you feel very strongly about the Constitution and the guarantees of freedom that at least one time were an important part of the life of the American people. Would you like to sort of pick up on this story and your thoughts and your response to what's going on?
You know, the other thing that I would like to add to that is that I take my oath of office very seriously. And it's to support and defend and uphold the Constitution of the state of Oregon and of the United States. And I take it very seriously. It's something that I don't take lightly. And I'm trying to encourage other law enforcement officers that, or other elected officials or public officials that do take an oath, that they consider reading it and maybe picking up their state constitution and the federal constitution and Constitution of the United States and read it and understand what they've done, and maybe make some changes, and maybe stand for what it stands for, and what where it's brought us to where we are today.
Go right ahead. You know, certainly when I went to school, never learned about the Constitution, the difference between a republic and democracy. So basically, were you a victim of a liberal education, or have you always realized the importance of what's going on? The sheriff?
I'm here.
Oh, go right ahead.
I'm not sure what your question was.
Well, basically, when did you become aware of the fact that there really was a problem as far as the interpretation of the Constitution, that so many people really don't understand it, or what is happening to America?
You know what kind of brought this to light? Was it through my duties and responsibilities as a sheriff here in Grant County, Oregon? There were some injustices being done by government officials, federal law enforcement officers pointing guns at people for minor violations that would probably bring no more punishment than a small fine, or to some people would probably be a significant fine for...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Sheriff, you go right ahead. You were saying that federal officials were coming in and pointing guns at people, but go right ahead.
Okay. You know, and there are no more violations than just...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Apparently, have these areas been actually closed so the people can't go into them, or is simply decisions are made on the part of local bureaucrats that they don't want people going in there? And then, of course, when they do go in, why, of course, they accost them, even though officially and legally the roads are not closed. Is that really what's been going on?
Correct. What happens when the Forest Service closes the road? Is that they have to have a basis or a purpose or a reason to close these roads. And if there's a catastrophe such as a forest fire or a disaster, maybe a mudslide washed out part of the road, maybe a culvert plugged up a road and it washed the culvert out, There has to be a reason or a basis or a purpose before they can just come out and close a road.
Well, do they ordinarily put up some sort of barrier or a sign or a ribbon or something? I mean, how does somebody know if a road is closed?
What they've slowly and meticulously done over a long period of time is they closed off just a handful of these roads. And some of them they would just push up a dirt berm with a piece of heavy equipment. Sometimes they'd put a log across the road. Then we started slowly seeing metal gates being put up. And then the next thing we know, we're what we call a pole gate, which is two poles on a side and a pole across with a red and white hash mark that says road closed. And that's what we've started seeing over the last few years, and there's more and more of them. And I was approached by a retired Forest Service official, and he was actually probably within the top three officials here at the local forest, and I think he's seen enough and he knows better. He pretty much came to me and told me that the majority of these road closures were done so illegally and unlawfully. And he pretty much spilled the beans to me about the Forest Service did this under a slow, you know, they did just a few here and there, and then the next year they'd do a few more, and 4 or 5 years they'd do a few more. And the next thing you know, our entire forest, the majority of it, off limits to us.
Now, what is the rationale for doing this? Basically, of course, the land belongs, if it's national forest, it belongs to the people. So why are the forest officials actually trying to keep people off the land? Or is this part of the Agenda 21 program of rewilding the forest lands?
I believe it is part of the Agenda 21. You know, there's absolutely no reason for us not to be able to use our public lands. Those public lands belong to the people of this country. Our community was dependent upon mining. Our community was dependent upon the timber production off of the public land, and our public lands were dependent upon allowing the cattlemen to graze their cattle on our public lands. And that's what our community was based on. And as it goes right now, being that we've been shut off from our public lands and why this is slowly being taken away from us, pretty much the revenue that comes out of the timber and out of the cattle, it puts a lot of money back into our community. There's a lot of the timber receipts that go back to the county, and then there's pass-through money from the county to the cities and to our schools. Our schools are very small up here in rural Oregon. Our cities are going broke, our county's going broke, our communities are falling apart. We're in a sad state of affairs financially. We're very dependent on our public lands right here locally. The timber that comes off of the land here in our county stays here in our community, and we haven't seen the revenues like we have in the past. And our city, county, school, government, we're really taking a hit on the chin, and it's killing our community.
Well, let's just start in, first of all, as far as the timbering now. Is timbering allowed? Are you allowed to lumber these national forests, as we traditionally did in the past? But then, of course, in many areas they've come up with the spotted owl concept, which really had nothing to do with the owl. It had to do with the fact that they wanted to shut down the timber industry in America. Is that the excuse that they're using to restrict the lumbering there? Or is this a result of the general slowdown of the economy?
You know what? I think it's a slow, well-thought-out process where if it's not the spotted owl, it would be the marbled murrelet, or it would be the lynx, or it would be the red band trout, or it would be some kind of a chub in the lake, or a ditch, or a small stream, or a frog,
plant. It's really part of this much larger program of simply wanting to shut down 50% of the land. This is certainly Agenda 21. They want to shut down 50% of the land in the United States and make it uninhabitable, and then 25% will be marginal area you can go into, but you can't use it for much of anything, and then try to then get the people to stay on the other 25%. Is that sort of what you see unfolding, this Agenda 21, this international, more or less subversive plan to alter the structure of our society? Is that what's going on in Grants County?
You know what? I don't know that much about Agenda 21, but it, I don't see any other reason for them wanting us off of the public land. Our national forest system is in a bad state of affairs. The timber and the underbrush and the overgrowth and the overstocking of our trees has got us to the point where we're very ripe for a natural disaster that that nobody wants to see. And once that burns, we've had huge catastrophic forest fires up here, and then you have trees that are 3 and 4 feet through the butt, and they can't even get a timber sale out. They can't even cut the trees. And then the hazard trees that they do cut alongside of the road, they fall those for safety of the people that are coming and going during the fires, and some of the rehab work after the fires, and they end up taking them back out and scattering them amongst the rest of the burnt trees, and they're left to rot when our schools are hurting for money and our city local government, our county government, our community's dying.
Well, now, what about the ranches? Are the ranches allowed then to use public land and lease it as they have traditionally in the past and graze their cattle? Or are the farmers the cattlemen are being forced off the land as well?
Yes. And it's most recently, there was some litigation at the federal level, and the environmentalists used the steelhead habitat for the excuse to get the cattlemen off of their grazing allotments. Some of the other things that came out during the cattlemen's issues was we've got an overstock of what's called wild horses, and they're basically horses that have been allowed to roam free and go wild. They're not a true definition of a wild horse here in our county. And what it's done is they're competing with the deer and elk and the cattle. And the horses, are so many of them that they've got into where the water is and where the green grass grows close to the streams. And they've annihilated the stream banks. And then the cattlemen were blamed for overgrazing or damage to the fish habitat. And that's what the environmentalists have used to try and get the cattlemen off of our public land.
But isn't there anybody who can see to point out it's the wild horses? Why can't you round up the wild horses and either put them into captivity or get them off to the slaughterhouse?
Well, when you involve a federal judge that's from San Francisco or from the Ninth Circuit Court, it's very difficult to get somebody to take the side of the cattlemen when you have a lot more players in the environmental arena that have seem to have the power and the money and the support and the backing. And it's not all truth. There's a lot of fiction to what the environmentalists are pushing, and it's not right.
Well, now, what about your recreation? Do you have a lot of recreational facilities up there, people coming up to fish and just to enjoy the beautiful outdoors? Or are they being so restricted that it's cutting into your recreation income?
Absolutely. Right now, the Forest Service is trying to implement their travel management plan. And what that's doing is closing a vast majority of access to our public lands. They're eliminating so much wood cutting off to the side of the roads. There's so much, you can only go so many feet off the sides of the roads. There's not going to be any more cross-country travel. We have, our county is roughly 5,000 square miles. And out of that, our national forest is about 65% of our county. Another 15 to 20% belongs to, under the jurisdiction of the Bureau of Land Management. We really enjoy what we have here. We encourage people to come visit us. We have some of the best hunting in Eastern Oregon, some of the best fishing, some very beautiful, country here. Our mountains go, close to 8,000-9,000 feet. The lowest point in our county is about 1,500 feet, above sea level. We've got fossil beds here. We have a lot of stuff here. We have a one-of-a-kind Chinese museum here. I actually grew up across the street from it. We encourage people to come here and visit and enjoy what we have. And it just seems that when we start we start taking away access to our national forest and our public lands, it's very close to taking control of the people and keeping them from their freedom of travel.
Well, I said this is, of course, what Agenda 21 is all about, and certainly Kirk McKenzie apparently has contacted you on this, and I hope you'll get to the information on Agenda 21 because it's being implemented all across America, indeed all across the world. It's a subversive plan, but it began right here where I live in Santa Cruz. This is the first place it was implemented. It was planned back in the early 1990s. But of course, it is really an effort to basically destroy America as we've known it and change America forever. Well, Kirk, are you there?
I am. Good evening, Dr. Stan. Good evening, Glenn.
Good evening, Kirk. Certainly, I've just been talking to Sheriff Glenn Palmer about what's going on up there, and it certainly sounds...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more?
Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
It's not happening simply by accident or simply a few isolated federal employees who have some sort of an agenda of their own, but this is part of a much larger international subversive plan, and it really is subversive. It's United Nations plan to transform not only the United States, but countries throughout the world, and they will all be brought under the same sort of control. Is there any effort to get the people educated?
Yes, the short answer is absolutely yes. I mean, in order to make progress, the first thing is that the biggest barrier is Americans have a perception of this, quote, reality, which is absolutely false, but it's drilled into our heads by watching TV and reading the newspapers for so many years. When the people confront this stuff firsthand, you begin to realize at some point it's not a matter of logic, it's not a matter of science, there's some kind of agenda, and at that point, people's minds open up, and they're open. And so, yes, we're going to be going up there. We're going to have a launch on the 22nd. We will be following this with additional presentations so that we can begin to educate the people on the broader issues. And I think once they understand the broader issues, as you have suggested in prior radio shows, that's when we begin to see the coalition building moving forward even faster, because once you realize it's not an isolated issue with this county or this city or this, you know, watershed or this forest, but it's actually a national issue that I think we can begin to hook people up and unify, I think the proper word would probably be solidarity, and begin to standing side by side with each other. And then it's not a matter of these large rural areas with low density populations, not a lot of money, not a lot of attorneys. We begin to work together in a synergistic way to begin to fight these battles everywhere.
Well, Sheriff Palmer, certainly, are the people up there pretty unhappy the way that these federal officials are exceeding their authority and closing down the people's forests and putting up all these barriers to keep them off, which I'm sure must have an impact as far as recreation, hunting, guiding, fishing, all of these things, which at least brings some money into your county, and then, of course, shutting down the lumbering and shutting down the grazing. Are the people up there, or somebody going along passively, or do they realize that that they're going to have to take a stand against it?
You know, I have to say that they are aware of it. There are some people that are highly upset with it, but there is a majority of people that have become more liberal. And I just don't think they understand where this is headed, and it's meticulously been done and purposefully done in slow increments to where if they were to just shut it off today and say, sorry, no more visitors beyond this point today, I think they would have one heck of a fight on their hands. But they've just slowly and methodically just started closing it off systematically, and it's just been done slowly over a slow period of time, and then 15, 20 years ago when they started this, nobody would ever think that their main goal is to get the people off of our public lands.
Are these federal officials waving their guns around? I mean, why would a federal official draw a gun on somebody? It crossed into one of these roads that had been closed down. I mean, what are they threatening the people with? Are they threatening with arrest and imprisonment for going on government property?
You know, I've asked the Forest Service that exact same question, and I would like to know from them where they get their authority to do that and why they would be allowed to use that level of force for something that would be considered a mere violation or a violation of a policy or a rule. It's not even a law. It's a regulation here at the local level that the local forester or the forest supervisor could change at the signing of a piece of paper that says, we're no longer going to do this practice or this policy. We're going to change the policy. And when you have somebody with that much power, if I was to use that level of force with somebody, I could see myself either in a federal court or in a state court.
and being sued for excessive use of force.
And why are federal rangers carrying weapons, you know? I mean, this is something you use for law enforcement. I mean, why would forest rangers be carrying weapons?
You know, and that's what I'm trying to educate folks on. Where does the federal government get their power to do this when the Constitution doesn't give them that? And I've been trying to get people to read their, if I can read and understand the Constitution, and it's not a big elaborate multi-page document, it's very easily read, very easily understood. There's no reading into it like a lawyer would read into
it. Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
They brought in a town. They were going to get some supplies because they were out hunting or fishing. And a federal official comes up and waves a gun in their face and threatens them because they have wood in their truck without a federal offense. And so these people don't like to have guns pointed at them and waved in their face and threatened simply for doing what people who've lived in the wilderness areas have always done. And, of course, apparently it's getting increasingly frequently. It is official federal policy there to threaten and intimidate the people. And a lot of people are very unhappy. And, of course, Palmer's talking about how they had a full-page ad in the local newspaper. And basically they had tremendous support from the local people. But he has been called an anti-federal activist. Well, basically, I would think that he is somebody who upholds the Constitution and fears the fact that of federal law can be misused by people who do not believe in the Constitution to threaten, intimidate the public. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely.
All right, son. So basically, then, you're not very popular with the local newspaper because, of course, of the policies that you've taken. Would that be a fair statement to make?
For the second time, absolutely.
Okay, fine. Well, do you have any sort of radio station up there? Sometimes, certainly, there are lots of good radio stations here in the United States. There are lots of bad ones, but we've got, about 65 stations. Maybe we're even approaching 70 stations that are actually carrying our programs. And stations in other countries are actually carrying our radio programs. Certainly, we speak the truth. We don't get paid for it. Nobody can certainly fire me because I don't get a salary, and we're just totally dependent on the public. But do you have any help at all from the local radio?
No. One of the things, Dr. Stan, that was said when I first came to light on this, but brought this out, was it was announced on our local radio station, is why can't we just get along?
Well, because, of course, when there is excessive use of force against law-abiding citizens, why, of course, you could use that exactly that same sort of an argument in Hitler's Germany, if everybody just go along with what the government was doing. And unfortunately, it is this idea that the government can do no wrong. Well, basically, the founding fathers of this country did not trust government. They feared that power would corrupt, and absolute power would corrupt absolutely. And we can't get along when we have people who are using guns and threatening people. If we want to get along, you would think the federal officials would quit waving guns and quit harassing the people. That's how you'd get along, isn't it?
Correct. And you know what? This gun-waving incident, I'm a very firm believer in our Second Amendment of the Constitution. Guns used in the right way are a tool just like matches or a hammer or a saw. Or a machete, and if they're used in a wrong way, they could be very dangerous and cause some physical injury, and it could cause problems. And I don't want to make it sound like the guns are the cause of the problem. It's not. It's the excessive use of force, and when you have an armed federal agent out there pointing a gun at somebody over a mere violation such as a speeding, how much of this do we have to take, or how much of this do we have to put up before the people end up reacting back in a way that's going to get somebody put in federal prison or get somebody involved in a shootout that it was basically instituted and instigated by somebody using excessive force.
Well, aren't there laws against federal officials using excessive force?
You know what? There's rules and regulations for all police officers, and we should be highly trained and skilled in what how we do our job, how we perform. But where's the accountability? Who's to hold them responsible? Who's to hold them accountable?
But the federal officials are not police officers. They're forest rangers, and their job, of course, is to look after the forest. And if there's a problem, why then they should come to the local law enforcement officials like yourself.
And that is where our 10th Amendment comes
from. Right.
And that is why we have the 10th Amendment. Those powers were not given to the federal government. They were reserved by the states and to the people and the citizens of state of Oregon and our county. And it should be that way across our nation. I don't think our founding fathers meant for there to be any federal policing other than what is said in our Constitution. And that is very limited, and it's in a very small box. And for somehow that box, one of the four sides on it has broken and it's been opened, and there's no checks and balances on it. I mean, how do you put a stop to it?
Well, because I think the first thing we do is expose Agenda 21, then we teach people about the wonderful Constitution we have, the importance of the 10th Amendment, and the fact that freedom is not free, and simply down through the ages, going back thousands of years, why bureaucracies have become excessive sooner or later. Go back and read what Cicero said 2,525 years before Christ was born about how certainly the budget had to be balanced, and we had to stop foreign wars, but you had to curtail the bureaucracy, the oppressive bureaucracy. And he was talking about this in ancient Rome. Of course, they actually executed Cicero, but it seems to be very little new under the sun. So basically, of course, hopefully why the people up there are as concerned as you are, and hopefully why you'll be going to be able to have some effect. But isn't there something that can be done, certainly going to even at the national level, to object to people, federal officials, taking a gun out when there is no justification for it? But if you take a gun out, you have to have a justification. You can't wave a gun at an individual. Where do they get off being able to and threaten and intimidate people when there's no justification for it?
That's my question, Dr. Stan. I've asked the question. I can't get an answer. There's no accountability. There's no responsibility. They have no answer. It's unacceptable to me, and that's why I basically took a stand and said, you know what, this is enough. I can't treat people like this, and I wouldn't allow somebody to walk into a gas station or to in one of our local businesses and wave a gun around and make demands or to steal something. They would end up in our jail.
Right.
And that's where they exactly where they belong. Why would it be any different if you have an elected official or a government official or anybody else that's out here waving a gun around and there's no justification and no reason for it or no basis or purpose for drawing your gun out of the holster to either defend yourself or a third person, and you're using it to assert your authority because, one, you're either trying to imply that you have the authority, or somebody is putting you at risk, and that's not happening.
Well, is there any justification? Would be the only way that you could actually arrest one of these federal officials for excessive use of force without authority? Because basically, of course, federal officials have no right in an area, my understanding is, without the permission of the duly elected official, the highest elected official in a county, which is actually is the sheriff. The sheriff is the highest, most powerful elected official in any county. He's the one who has the guns. He has the ability, the responsibility to enforce the law. Is there any way, of course, that you can just say to these people, you will stop doing this or I will arrest you?
I've been there.
Well, tell us about that, because this is the intriguing part of all of these discussions, is what can we do using the Constitution, which is still the official law of our land, despite the fact that President Bush is said to have called the Constitution a GD piece of paper. I don't know whether it's true or not, but he's been quoted many times as simply deriding the idea of the Constitution, and yet it is the only thing that separates America from all other countries, and it is the foundation of our freedom. If it weren't for the Constitution, why, the bureaucracy would run roughshod over all of us. So what happened when you spoke out on these issues?
Well, I was basically told by Forest Service officials that if I was to arrest one of their employees, that I would have the U.S. Attorney and the Justice Department and several other government agencies down my throat so fast that I couldn't see straight. And I think it's an empty threat. I think what I've told them and asked them to stop doing this and to reconsider on how they're treating people, tried to engage them in some dialogue and come to some kind of understanding that what they were doing was wrong. And I don't think they have any plans of stopping. I've tried to meet with them and talk to them, such as we are, just person to person. And, you know, there's no screaming matches or shouting matches, or we're not pushing each other back and forth. And
well, it sounds to me like they're threatening you and saying, well, we're going to sick, you know, the attorney general on you, a state, you know,
yeah.
Lieutenant.
But basically, they have no
rights in your area. Basically, they have no law enforcement power at all. These are not federal law enforcement officials.
I agree. I agree with you, Dr. Stan. And that's where I've made When this first came out, it was pretty much a, it was said I've drawn a line in the sand, but I would like to think that it's a little bit more than in the sand. I've taken a stand, and nobody has encouraged me to do this. Nobody has prodded me. Nobody gave me anything. I've taken nothing in return for this. I think the people have elected me to the position of sheriff to defend and stand up for them and to do what is right. And I think that I don't mean to pat myself on the back, but I think it's very admirable that myself and as well as another sheriff here in Oregon has done the same thing over in Josephine County, Oregon, and it's Sheriff Gil Gilbertson. He's taken a stand as well. I really wish we could get more sheriffs on board and take their oath of office a little bit more seriously and do what's right for the people instead of what's best for the government in some people's eyes. And
what about the county commissioners? Do you have a board of supervisors up there? Do you have county commissioners? Or
we do. We have a three-member county court system, right. And the board of commissioners are. They've tried collaboration with various environmental groups. They've tried collaboration with other government agencies and other users of the public lands and of our area. And in reality, I don't see them wanting to buck the system. I think I see them with a carrot being dangled in front of their face, and they are afraid, I think, that there's going to be some funding cut off or some kind of privileges or something to that effect that they're going to lose if they try and stand up to them.
Well, what we need are people who value freedom over personal advantage.
Absolutely.
Kirk,
absolutely.
Kirk, what are your thoughts on this? What can be done in addition to what's already being done? Because the real key is to get the people solidly behind what's going on and to understand that freedom is never free. And there really are people who want to totally destroy freedom as we know it. They do it very gradually, just a little here, a little there. But pretty soon, of course, there's no freedom left. Kirk, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think all the above. I think that the thing that I continually kind of question, and I do the same thing with some of the good congressmen and senators up in the federal government, is, you know, the way this works out is that you end up ultimately have an individual that's put in this position, and then the full weight of the government against this one person. How do we stand side by side with our sheriffs? I mean, how do you fit, you know, 500 people in the car? You know, that's a real fundamental question. How do you stand side by side? Because I think there are people that are prepared to do that. And so it's not just that they can attack an individual. They have to, you know, they're attacking the community, or they're certainly attacking a large number of people. Certainly get the information out, get the education out, begin to form these alliances among the groups and get them talking together real time and working together. I mean, it's going to take all the above.
Well, I think that really has to start with an educational program up there so that people really understand that what is happening is not accidental. It is part of this major program called Agenda 21. Fortunately, we have copies of it. We make it available. It's published by the United Nations. This is not an American policy. It is an international policy. It is not funded by people who believe in freedom, but by people who believe in an authoritarian system under a ruling elite who will control everything and, of course, have an intense hatred for basically for humanity and for mankind's use of the wonderful, wonderful resources that God has given us. They want, of course, take and remove basically half of the land from being used by humankind. And they don't care whether, of course, the forest burns. In fact, our good friend Michael Shaw, who is the head of Agenda, a group called Freedom Advocates, has said he's been to meetings where federal officials have come in and talked about forest fires, and not that we're going to let them burn, referring to the forest fires, but we're going to make them burn. They really want to be destructive, and people say, why would anybody in the right mind want to do that? The answer is, we're not dealing with people in the right mind. They have a different worldview. Well, certainly, Sheriff. What's the next thing going to happen? Are you sort of in the impasse now, or is there certainly a growing evidence of support among the people? Because without the people's support, there's nothing you can do. I mean, they'll target you with the next election.
You know what? I'm not worried about the election. I can't let that become part of the discussion. What we've done most recently is I've tried very hard, as well as Sheriff Gilbertson, is to try and get the Oregon State Sheriff's Association on board. We've also solicited the help from the Western State Sheriff's Association, which basically covers all the way from Montana clear down to New Mexico and to the West Coast. We're trying hard to get more sheriffs on board. We're trying to get the National Sheriff's Association on board. Basically anything west of the Mississippi would be really nice, but even if we had support from the sheriffs back east, we're trying hard to get people exposed to bring this to light. We've had speakers come to our community and talk on federal power and our Constitution. You know, one thing before I go, I would like to say one more thing, Dr. Stan, and there's two people in the state of Oregon that can form a militia, and one of them is the governor. He can declare his National Guard, and there's a sheriff who can form his posse. And I don't want it to get to a point to where we have to have that kind of a mentality, but we need to stand up for ourselves and we need to defend ourselves. And it just kind of goes to show you what kind of power a sheriff really has. And I'd like to encourage the people that are listening to go in and meet their sheriff, get to know him, and take him the Agenda 21 stuff. Take him the book, America's Last Hope, written by Richard Mack.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Sheriff Palmer.
You know, I can't stress enough that we just need to educate our sheriffs and get them.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Kirk, what is that website again?
So that's Sheriff Richard Mack, and his website is www.sheriffmack.com.
All right, and we actually have a DVD of Sheriff Mack giving a talk. We carry his book. We think his information is vitally important because it talks about the Constitution. It talks about the case that he took to the United States Supreme Court, and where the Supreme Court held that the sheriff had the right to actually take a stand against unjust federal laws. And this is not anti-federal activism. This was trying to certainly verify and support the Constitution, which is our protection from bureaucratic excess. Anything else you'd like to say before we let you go, Kirk?
No, I think that's it. I appreciate your ongoing support.
Well, Sheriff Palmer, anything else you'd like to say?
I just want to say thank you for letting me be on your program, and thank you to Kirk for arranging the interview tonight. And
if anything else comes up and you'd like to be on our programs again, we do have a number of other programs. We do 5 hours of talk radio a day, probably more than anybody else in the country, and then we have all sorts of other programs as well. But we're just trying to educate people. And God bless you. Thanks so very much for your doing, and I just hope that you'll keep us posted as to what's happening up there in Grants County.
Thank you.
Good night. God bless both of you. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope that, of course, you enjoyed the interview. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, freedom is on the defensive all across America. If you do want to know more about Agenda 21, we carry an excellent book, By Stealth and Deception, by our good friend Orlean Colum. By Stealth and Deception, of course, we have Sheriff Mack's book, and we have the DVD of his talk. We think it's vitally important that you understand that there is a constant effort to destroy freedom and establish a tyrannical government in the United States. If you want to know who's behind it, you need to get the book. None Dare Call It Conspiracy, and then, of course, the companion book, probably one of the most important books ever written, and we've kept it in print for 20 years, called Foundations, Their Power and Their Influence. Foundations, Their Power and Their Influence. It goes into the background, certainly, of who's funding the environmental movement. Now, of course, when the book was written back in 1958, they didn't even really have the environmental movement. It really goes into the who's behind and financing communism and socialism in the United States, and the money isn't coming from Moscow or Beijing. It's coming from New York City. It's coming from the great tax-exempt foundations who have a different agenda, and you need to get the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, and then to put it to proper perspective, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. Now, this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners out there that Radio Liberty is putting on an all-day seminar on the 23rd of October. That's 2.5 weeks from now. And if you're going to come, you're going to have to let us know within the next week because, of course, we have to give them time to so they'll have food prepared. We're going to open the doors at 7:30 in the morning, start at 8:30. We're going to go through to 5:30 or 6. And basically, we have to know if you're going to be there because we have to order the lunches, and we're going to serve lunch. And you'll find it a fascinating program, lots of great people, good food, and lots of access to information. And if there's going to be something unique this time, we're going to have time to ask questions, and we're probably going to put a panel on at the end of the day where you'll be able to ask the questions that you really want answered. Now, basically, to come, you're going to call 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, I need to remind you, my ministry is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. And if not, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty. We ask you to pray for our provision and protection because we're truly involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Stephen Frank, who writes, of course, a daily blog, actually writes about three blogs a day, going into what's happening here in the state of California. And basically, we have to understand that California, if we were an independent country, would be about the eighth largest country in the whole world as far as wealth, as far as population is concerned, as far as industry is concerned. We were, before Arnold Schwarzenegger was our governor, we were the sixth largest country in the world. Now we're the eighth largest country in the world, but certainly we're not an independent nation. We're simply part of the United States. But what happens in California foreshadows what is happening and going to happen throughout the rest of the nation. And so basically, Stephen, who's been at this, probably one of the few people who's been at it almost as long, maybe even longer than I have, over 50 years, Stephen writes his daily blogs, and I guess about three times a day, trying to point out what's happening here. And we're having some of the most amazing things happen, a few of them good, most of them bad. But basically, of course, what's happening today is, of course, our state is essentially bankrupt. I mean, we have massive debts. We have no way to pay them off. And many of our cities, many of our communities are continuing to spend and spend as if somehow when you're in debt, the way out of debt is to spend more money. Stephen, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
Dr. Stan, always great to be with you.
Why don't you just tell us some of the things that are really going on there, from your point of view, that are disturbing?
Well, the most disturbing thing is that between tonight and Sunday night at midnight, the governor has 366 more bills to sign or veto. And mostly he's been signing the bills, though every once in a while he comes out of his liberal haze, as he did last night, and vetoed a bill that would have mandated every babysitter in the state of California be a union member. So he did veto that bill, and he's vetoed a few other bills that are good. But he, for instance, has signed a bill that banned cities and counties from banning project labor agreements, which means he is saying to every city and county that you have to hire union only to work on government projects. And, of course, that means 15 to 20% more money from the taxpayers to pay for a project. That means you get 15 to 20% less of a project and more debt and deficit.
But, of course, this is simply a payback to the unions that fund Governor Brown and fund the politicians. And that is, of course, why this isn't. This, of course, is not fair to the people. Why should the city, they be able to actually raise union funds to give to the politicians to pass legislation so that union members will make more money? That is immoral and wrong. In fact, at one time, we didn't even allow a city, government employees to unionize because they knew that down the line this power of the purse would be used to corrupt and then eventually destroy our society. You can't have certainly government employees being able to raise money so they can control politicians, so they can control government. You either work for the government, but you don't work for the government and control the government at the same time and then force people to pay taxes. We'll be back in a moment. Well, Stephen, you know, this is the most ridiculous thing in the world. I would think it would be flagrantly illegal to have a situation where unions can raise money to give to the politicians so that they can give more money to the unions.
Well, first you have to understand that unions do not raise any money. They don't raise a dime in political donations. They steal the money. If you wish to be a teacher, a cop, if you wish to be a landscaper for the state or the city, you're forced to pay a bribe to a union. And part of that bribe then goes into the union's political fund. So it's not as if they're raising the money. No one will come to you, Dr. Stan, would you like to give $100? For a Democrat candidate for Congress. They're not going to do that. They're going to say, Dr. Stan, you want to be a teacher? You're going to pay $600 to $1,000 a year, and you'll be able to teach. If you don't pay us that, you will not be allowed to be in a classroom, in a government classroom. So it's not as if they're raising the money. If you ran for Congress or Senate, you'd have to go door-to-door. You'd have to go to your friends, neighbors, and family and ask for donations. Democrats don't do that. They go to the union. They get their money. They spend the money. They get elected. Then they become the city council member, the school board member, the member of the assembly, and bills come up in front of them to the benefit of the unions. How do you think they're going to vote?
Well, I would think that they would should be required to recuse themselves as they've accepted money from somebody who's donated to their campaigns. Otherwise, of course, they are going to simply vote according to who gave them the most money. And I'll never forget when Michelle Bachmann accused Governor Perry, of mandating, putting out an executive order in the state of Texas to mandate every child would, every girl would have to get a Gardasil shot. She pointed out that the company that makes Gardasil, Merck Company, had given Governor Perry $5,000, and he looked at her indignantly and said, well, certainly I wouldn't sell my vote, my power, for $5,000. I wish you'd said, well, Governor, how much would you sell your power for?
Yeah, that's the correct question.
Right.
If $5,000 is not enough, how much is?
Right. Well, anyway, but Chris, this is how the whole thing works. Basically, what we ought to do is get a referendum on the state ballot simply saying that any politician who takes money from somebody, from a union, should not vote for anything that benefits a union member.
Absolutely.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I was just saying that we ought to get a referendum on the ballot. And here in California, you can do that sort of thing. And it would say simply that no politician who takes money from anybody, whether it be union or anything else, should be allowed to cast a vote in the legislature on anything that will benefit the people who've given him money. And basically, I mean, they can have opinions, but if they're going to get a monetary reward from the government for a legislation where they've given money to a legislator, that legislator should recuse himself and not vote on any issue that he has taken money from constituents to back. So, but because I couldn't imagine that ever happening. And this is the problem with democracy. Basically, they say the money talks, and of course, if you've got enough money, why, of course, you can shout, and the politicians will kneel down and do what you want to. And this is why we have a Democrat majority in the state legislature in California, is because the unions are powerful. They've raised money forcibly. They've taken money from people who work for the unions, and then, of course, they give it to the politicians, who will then vote for more money to be given to the union members. And certainly this is why we have such high salaries for so many, whether they be university teachers or high school teachers or whatever it would be. Certainly our policemen and our firemen, they have very high salaries because they have simply bribed the legislature to do that. And unfortunately, why the system has worked very well, but now the system is bankrupt financially. Run out of money, and this is the problem with any of these systems. This is what's going on in Greece today, where 30% of the population has a government job. Every family in Greece has somebody in that family who works for the government. 30% of the people who are working in Greece work in one capacity or another for the government. And the government is bankrupt. I mean, they've had all these benefits. You can retire at 50 years of age. You get all these paid holidays. You get high salaries. But eventually, you run out of money. And suddenly, then, of course, you have to borrow money. And then you have to borrow more money to pay back the money that you borrowed. And now Greece is trying to borrow more money to pay back the money that they borrowed, to pay back the money that they borrowed. And, of course, if they don't do it, then, of course, the banks are going to go bankrupt over there in Europe. And that's going to be perhaps the initial certainly problem that will begin to simply break or bankrupt all of Europe. All the banks will go down. It's simply a cascade domino effect. So pick up the story of what's going on
here in
California.
So here in California and nationally, almost 50%, I think the total is 47 now, 47% of all Americans get some form of government assistance, whether it be food stamps, college loans, whether it be subsidies,
grants. Social Security and Medicare. I mean, we've got 56 million Americans getting either Social Security or Medicare or both of them. And these people don't want to give this up. This is not, they call it an entitlement. Why are you entitled to it? Because it's a socialist program. People say, well, I paid into it. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, but they stole that money. They spent that money. There is no money in the Social Security or Medicare funds. And we've got 56 million Americans, most of who say, well, we're all in favor of individual freedom. We don't like big government. But we don't want to give up our Social Security, and we don't want to give up our Medicare. How would we get by?
Well, here's the problem. They weren't given a choice. You and I were not given a choice. If we earned money, the government took it for Social Security. Now, as we know, Social Security is bankrupt. Medicare is bankrupt. That they're stealing from the future to pay for Medicare and Social Security today. If you said, I didn't want to pay into it, and okay, if I don't pay into it, I understand I don't get any money from it at the end, they won't let you. They will still take your money regardless. So it's not as if they had a program. It's kind of like unions. They just steal the money. And in 1965 or 1966, until that time, the Social Security money was truly in a lockbox. But President Johnson and the Democrats took it out and put all the Social Security money in a fashion into the general fund. And therefore, we started paying monies for parks and military and everything else from Social Security money. We borrowed the money with IOUs from the Treasury. Now all the Social Security and Medicare folks have is IOUs that can't be paid without raising taxes in the general fund. So they take the money. We didn't ask them to take it. They took it without our permission. And now they say they need more money. And one of the reasons we're bankrupt as a nation is because in the mid-60s, They changed the way they financed it, and today, 45 years later, we're paying the penalty.
Well, basically, because you remember what happened in the mid-1960s, we were involved in the Vietnam War. Had they taxed the people to pay for that no-win war, where we sent 58,000 Americans over there to die needlessly, because we never tried to win the war. We were financing the Russians, were financing the North Vietnamese, were financing the Viet Cong, all during the war, because if we hadn't done that, we couldn't have kept the war going for 10 years. But the thing is, of course, that they did not simply tax the American people for that war. They borrowed the money, and what they did is they stole Social Security, and they stole from the Medicare Trust Fund. At least with Bernie Madoff and his Ponzi scheme, people did it voluntarily. Their greed got them into this thing, and because you know, you're paying the 10% a year, was too good to be true, and anything is too good to be true, it probably is. On the other hand, people did not have that choice, you know. It wasn't greed that drew people into Social Security and Medicare. It was by force, with a promise that they would have an insured retirement guaranteed by the full faith and credit of the United States. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have very little faith in our government, because it's been taken over by wicked people. I love my country, but my country, it doesn't exist anymore, because wicked people have taken control of the reins of government and are using the military and financial power of our government to bring about a world government and destroy Christianity. But basically, of course, people have to understand what has really gone on. They've stolen the money. There's no way we can ever pay back what we have borrowed. And so sooner or later, whether it's this year or 2 years from now or 5 years from now, why, this whole thing is going belly up, because now we have 56 million people who are actually getting Social Security and Medicare, and the baby boomers have started to retire, and there's 75 to 79 million of them. What's going to happen when you have 56 million and 75 million people? That's about 130 million people. You know, on the dole, and there's only 130 million workers in this country, if they're all working right now, an awful lot of them are unemployed. But what happens when you have more people on the dole than you actually have working? And that's just Medicare and Social Security. What about all the people who are getting food stamps and the people who are getting unemployment insurance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? We're in real trouble, Steve.
Well, we are in deep trouble, and there's, as I see it, until the economy totally collapses and forces government to reorganize itself, we will be in a situation where our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren will be paying off debts that we've incurred because we weren't willing to stand up and say no to Obama, no to Jerry Brown, no to the Democrats, no to the unions, no to
Republican
illegal
presidential
aliens.
Candidate and Texas
and so
Representative
we've allowed
Brown.
Ourselves to be in a society that is totally lawless. When you have illegal aliens, the other day Obama was really proud of himself. The federal government picked up in a week 2,300 criminal illegal aliens. Well, first of all illegal aliens are criminals, all of them, every single one. They use phony or stolen IDs. We would go to jail if we did that. They lie on job and school applications. We would go to jail if we did that. They drive our streets without insurance. Our cars would be taken away from us, and they're not taken away from illegal aliens. And so we have a lawless society, and I don't want to forget to remind your listeners that on October 1st, a few days ago, and it winds up the total number of prisoners over the next 2 years that are either going to be released or not, or criminals not put in prison, equals 52,000. There will be 52,000 criminals on our streets. And the governor will say, I didn't put a single one of them on the street. And technically, he'll be correct. Your county did, and my county did, because what he's doing is what's called a realignment. Instead of sending vicious criminals to prisons, they're going to send them for many years to the county jail. Now, almost every county in the state is under a court order to not have as many criminals. I'll give you, for instance, L.A. County is under order to let go, I think it's 10 or 20% of the criminals they have in their county jail. Well, right now they have 4,000 criminals in L.A. County jails. Over the next 2 years, the state government is going to send to Los Angeles County 8,000 prisoners. Now, if they can't hold the 4,000, what are they going to do with the 8,000? Which means the counties are going to release these people. The sheriff of L.A. County has already warned us of a crime wave. He's already said that he doesn't have enough officers for parole or probation purposes. And 2 days ago, he took 150 cops from the streets of Los Angeles just to deal with the administration of these incoming 8,000 prisoners to our county, or to L.A. County. That means there are 150 fewer cops on the street protecting the people of L.A. and instead doing paperwork for vicious criminals that the guards is releasing.
Well, Sydney, Steve is just talking about the fact that the...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Communities have been ordered in many instances by the judges and by the courts to release them. They can't have too many prisoners in prison. They have 4,000 in the LA jails. They're going to have to release 1,000 according to court order. And now they're returning 8,000 more to Los Angeles. What are they going to do with them? And of course, the governor vetoed a bill that would have allowed state parks to remain open, but sell concessions in them or perhaps to lease them to people, but to maintain them, but make them financially stable. And furthermore, certainly some of our communities are certainly privatizing the libraries. The libraries are going to stay open, but they're going to be certainly have to be run as businesses, and they're going to have to charge people to have access to books. Pick up the story there, Steve.
Yeah, and so in both cases, and in all the other cases around the country where libraries are privatized, you have better service, longer service, and it saves the taxpayers of the city or county at least 10 and sometimes 15%. And that's a good thing. Not spending as much money on a service, but getting more of the service. That should be a good thing. But the Democrats have bills that will stop the privatizing of libraries. And of course, that means closed libraries, shorter hours for the libraries. And why are they doing this? Because in the privatized libraries, people work there who wish to work there, and they work there without paying a bribe. In the government libraries, the workers there belong to unions. They pay bribes in order to hold the job. They don't pay the bribe. They don't get to work. So the unions are afraid that if enough people don't pay bribes, they will have to close down. So the way to keep the unions open is to stop people from working freely in this state, in this country.
Well, if you're out there in the audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295.
This is my last shot. I'm ready to fight you.
How much of a deficit are we going to have this year? How much of a deficit do we carry over from last year? And how are they possibly going to be able to keep this thing going when they do not have the money? They're not having the income. In other words, they anticipated they were going to get money from the federal government. They built that in the budget, and the money's not forthcoming. And they, of course, anticipated that the economy was going to improve so they'd have more of an income. The economy is contracting. So how far behind are we at the state level now?
Well, that's a very interesting question. And early today, I started looking into the answer. And here's what we do know, that at the beginning of August, about the 4th of August, the state controller put out a as he does every month, and that's the key. At the very beginning of each month, he sends out a document that says how much revenues were received, what the sources of the revenues were, what the expenditures were, and how much of a deficit or surplus the state ran in the previous month and cumulatively in the fiscal year. So at the beginning of August, he sends out a document showing that we are $11.1 billion in deficit, and that's just the first month of the California fiscal year, so the month of July of 2011. So this morning I was thinking, you know, I hadn't noticed any subsequent ones for September, though I did remember he put out a statement about funds raised, but he didn't put in the normal stuff as to the expenditures or the deficit. And this being the 6th of October, he should have come out with one already. And so what I found out by going through the state controller's website is that since the August announcement, early August announcement, they have not told the public how big the deficit is, nor how much the expenditures are vis-a-vis the income or revenues of the state of California. Now, when I see that, I know they're holding back something, because in the last few days, the only thing coming out of Sacramento is, can Jerry Brown pull the trigger? If you remember, Jerry Brown added a fantasy $4 billion in revenues to balance the budget, and he said that if we don't have see the revenues coming in by December, we'll have to cut $4 billion. Well, now the question is, we already know the $4 billion aren't here, and in fact, we're several billion behind in predicted revenues, but the state controller is refusing to tell us what the deficit is, because though
hold
we
that
are
thought.
Behind
hold
in
that
revenues,
thought.
We don't know how much has been spent.
Well, Stephen, you go right ahead.
Well, the state of California, we don't know how big the deficit is because they're hiding that from us. My presumption is based on stuff by the end of the fiscal year, without hesitation. If I was very conservative, I would say that the deficit by the end of this year, if you included everything, would be in the $40 billion range.
But wait a minute, we're only talking about an $80 billion budget. You're saying a $40 billion deficit on an $80 billion deficit on $80 billion budget?
No, we don't have an $80 billion budget.
Well, how much do we have? What is the budget?
The budget, the budget is all the money that you spend.
All right. But I mean, basically, we're talking about the theoretical part. In other words, I thought that they were thinking about $86 billion was what they were planning.
The $86 billion is a general fund budget.
I see.
And then there's a large sum of money, over $100 billion, that the federal government gives us. In total, we will spend, and which is the real budget, which is another thing that's wrong, that they don't give us the facts as to how much we spend. And we're actually going to spend in the neighborhood of $210 billion in the state of California. Monies will come from what they call off-budget items, trust funds. Those are not counted in the budget. They're expenditures, transportation trust funds, federal funds, grants, loans. For instance, the state of California, a couple of weeks ago, paid the federal government $320 million, which wasn't budgeted, so that they could pay the interest on the unemployment insurance fund, which they borrowed $10 billion from the feds from. So they repaid $320 million strictly interest. They have not paid the...
Hold that thought here. Well, Sidney, Dr. Stevens, going to the background of the budget, which is so complicated here, it's difficult to follow. But basically, we're going to have a massive deficit here in the state of California. And basically, of course, they're borrowing money, but they're incapable of paying back the money that they're borrowing. They're borrowing money to pay their obligations, but they don't have the money to pay it back. They're having a hard time raising the money just to pay the interest on the funds that they've borrowed to pay unemployment insurance benefits. So pick up the story there, Stephen.
So,
but before you do, I would like you to go ahead and get out your email address and your website so people get in touch with you and sign up for your free daily blogs. Excellent material to keep abreast of what's going on in California, because what's going on in California foreshadows what's going on across America. Go right ahead.
You can go to capoliticalnews.com, capoliticalnews.com. Click on that, and on the right side of the website, which now has humor, YouTube presentations. In fact, we even have Kate Smith singing God Bless America on my website now.
Good for you.
We have all sorts of information on what's going on a daily basis. And on a momentary basis, we have alerts that I put in several times a day to keep people up to date with what's going on. And that's capoliticalnews.com.
OKCAPoliticalNews.com.
OKCAPoliticalNews.com. Now, Steve was talking about basically what's happening as far as the budget is concerned here in California. And certainly, do we have any idea how much of a budget deficit we had for the last fiscal year? Now, we're 1 month now into the new fiscal year. What was the budget deficit for last year, or did we have a balanced budget?
Well, let me explain one more thing with this unemployment so you can understand how we're going to get up to $40 billion this year. So we pay back the interest charges of $320 million. We have $10 million that we never showed as a deficit anywhere. And instead of saying, okay, we're going to pay our way now, Governor Brown has asked the federal government for $4 billion more to be borrowed, loaned to us by the federal government for our unemployment insurance. So that $4 billion is a deficit that we're eventually going to have to pay, but doesn't show up on the general revenue fund, which is why this is confusing. Now, last year's deficit, fiscal year 2010-2011, was approximately $40 billion. Over the 7 years that Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor, the total admitted deficits of the state of California were $165 billion over the 7 years he was governor.
Well, now, are we paying, did we have to borrow that money? Are we paying interest on it or what?
If you remember back in 2004, the governor asked us to borrow $15 billion in general obligation bonds to pay off Gray Davis's deficit. Well, we did borrow the money. We did not pay off Gray Davis's deficit, and we're still paying off the $15 billion bond. And let me tell you how serious this is. As you know, the budget of the state of California, the general revenue, general fund budget, is approximately $89 billion. That's what the general fund budget is. Of the $89 billion in the 2011-2012 fiscal year, 7.85% of the $89 billion just goes to interest charges on our bonds and deficit. Now, in 2 years, or I should say in fiscal year 2014-2015, which is very soon, that number goes up to 9% of our general revenue fund will just go to interest charges. That's how bad it is.
Well, because what this is the problem with all of these socialist schemes is eventually, why, of course, you're paying so much in interest, there's no money left over for anything else. Certainly by the time you're talking about 2020, 2025, certainly the majority of the money will be going, the money that comes in will be going to pay interest on the state debt.
And let me remind your listeners that any new debt, under state law, there's a cap on the interest that could be paid. It used to be until 2009, 6%. Democrat Treasurer Bill Lockyer got the state legislature to change it. Now the cap on interest on this debt is 14%. I know that's a shocking number, but that's what the state law is.
But of course, we're not having to pay 14% at the present time. But I would simply point out that certainly over in Greece today, why Greece is having to pay 100% interest on borrowing money for a year. I mean, well, things are that bad in Greece. And basically, if you look at the status of Greece, the state of Greece, their debt structure is really nowhere near as bad as that of the federal government here in the United States. But nobody wants to say that because, of course, the federal government here can simply create money by printing it, whereas Greece can't do that. So Greece is in more trouble initially, but the fundamentals are very, very similar.
Well, actually, Dr. Stan, there are cities and counties and the state who, within the last year, have paid 9% interest on bonds sold. Not all bonds. Most are half of that. But some bonds have gone for 9%. And that is a bad sign for all of us.
Well, see, we're not hearing about that, and people don't understand this is what's wrong with socialism, is because you just keep borrowing money and borrowing money and borrowing money, but the money you borrow, you have to pay interest on it. And eventually, of course, you get to the point where most of your income is going to pay interest on the debt, and people don't understand what's really going on. Certainly right now, we're only paying a couple of $100 billion a year of the interest on the national debt. But that is because we're borrowing money, you know, at 1% or 2% interest. What happens when that goes to 6% or 8% interest, or as it did back in 1980, the 14% interest?
No, absolutely.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, but go right ahead there, Stephen.
Well, actually, we are at the point, both in the state of California and nationally, of a fiscal collapse. The Democrats have come up with a new tax plan. That's not going to pass, but a new tax plan to tax the rich to help cover the $447 billion of new spending that Barack Obama wants for a stimulus. Almost $1 trillion didn't work, and we went from 7.5% to 9% unemployment. Who knows how bad this is, because the more money government takes, the less money the people and businesses have, which means more unemployment, more poverty, more home foreclosures. And that's what the Obama plan is, to truly close down America.
I think it was Lenin who said the best way to destroy a nation, the grace is to, is to crush the people, certainly between taxation and I forgot what it, and certainly the other government programs. And certainly when your taxes get so high that there's just no way people can afford them, and certainly when they are simply limiting our freedom with the other, basically that point you end up with a revolution. This is exactly what the communists have planned, and that's exactly what's beginning to take place today. This Occupy Wall Street, all of these demonstrators are out there being gotten out. I mean, who's organizing them? People don't just occur. They don't just show up for a demonstration. Somebody's organizing this, putting up the money, putting up the, getting the flyers and the Facebook and the Internet entries there. Of course, this is all being funded by the Communist Party and by ACORN and by the Marxists and by the Socialists. But what people don't understand, and this is all being funded by Wall Street, people don't understand, this is a controlled opposition. And most of the people out there demonstrating and getting arrested have no idea that they're simply being manipulated by the very people they think they're opposing. But go right ahead, Stephen.
Well, one of the named sponsors of the Occupy Wall Street operation is an organization called MoveOn.org, which is a George Soros sponsored and created organization.
A multi-billionaire George Soros.
That was the man that broke the British pound and who has broken other nations' economies and finances. But the more important thing, the most interesting thing is, if you see the tapes on TV, the videos on YouTube of these kids who are screaming down with capitalism, most of them have iPads, most of them have smartphones, most of them have designer jeans, and in the New York case, we now know that most of these kids are students at a thing called the New School, which is a radical economics university in New York City that is headed or was headed by former Nebraska Senator Bob Kerry. And this is a university that promotes the goodness of socialistic policy and of community rather than individual rights, and that the Constitution is a moving target. What it means today is not what it means tomorrow, and that there's no stability in the Constitution. And so these kids are having a great time. And one of their great problems, as Fox News had it, is a lot of these kids are angry because they can't pay off their student loans because they couldn't get a job. And the one reporter for Fox News interviewed a kid that has an $80,000 student loan, cannot find a job, and this guy's major was social work. Well, how did he ever think he'd pay off such a loan going into social work?
Well, you know, it's really almost it's tragic. These kids are certainly, they're going to college. They don't have to work. All they have to do is borrow money. They have no idea that when you borrow money, you have to pay it back. And why should you be angry when, of course, after you borrowed all this money, that somebody wants to get it back again? But they never should have lent the people money in the first place, because most of them will never be able to pay it back. Most of these children are not going to be able to come up with $50,000, $70,000, $100,000 to pay back their student loans. And basically, of course, if a bank loans money to irresponsibly, they should be held responsible. And if the loan is not paid back, then they, of course, are in trouble. The trouble is that they've said, well, you have to pay these loans back. And so what they've done is they put these young people into involuntary servitude. I mean, the young people certainly are responsible for what they've done, because there is no free lunch. But, of course, the people who promoted this program and in the process of driven up the cost of education. Of course, the colleges knew there was lots of money there, so they began expanding the colleges and putting in new buildings and paying higher salaries. And some of these college administrators are getting $250,000, $300,000, $400,000 a year as a college administrator. But you see, they can get that money because the government's guaranteeing the loans.
Well,
the government shouldn't guarantee those loans. Go ahead.
The PC system gets paid $800,000 a year and also gets a couple hundred thousand dollars for reimbursement for car, housing, expenses, et cetera. This is a million-dollar man.
Now, who is this?
Mark Udall, who's the chancellor of the University of California system. And he gets a flat salary of $800,000 plus another $200,000 for reimbursement for car, housing, expenses, et cetera.
I think that's criminal. I think that basically whoever authorized that sort of a salary ought to be fired.
Well, I'll give you the name of the person who authorized it. The man's name is Richard Blum, B-L-U-M. I think you know his wife, right?
You're talking about somebody named Dianne Feinstein?
Dianne Feinstein's his wife.
Right.
Now, Richard Blum is the largest American investor in China. Just happenstance. He has billions of dollars of investments in China.
Well, I don't think that Dianne should be allowed to vote on anything having to do with other relationships with China.
Because not only does she do that, but when she was chair of the Armed Services, Senate Armed Services Committee on Contracts, her husband's firms that he had investments in were getting contracts on a regular basis. So much so that finally, even the Washington Post had to take note of it, and she was forced to resign as chair of that committee. But, of course, she's still a senator, and her husband's firms are still getting the money, but at least she's not chair of the committee anymore.
This is the woman, of course, who's so much in favor of gun control, and yet, of course, when she was the mayor of San Francisco, she insisted on having a gun permit to protect herself and justified it by saying, well, she had to protect her own life, but she's against anybody else having a gun permit. This woman gives hypocrisy a bad name. I believe she's an evil woman, and, of course, she's been in all sorts of certainly nefarious projects, which have funneled massive amounts of money directly or indirectly to her own husband, and they should be investigated, and I think they ought to be in prison. But then I think, of course, a lot of the people in Washington, D.C. should be in prison for their subversive activities.
Well, we do have the first, in many years, the first bigoted, racist attorney general of the United States.
You're talking about Holder.
Plus, he sold guns knowingly, then lied to Congress about knowing about it, to Mexican drug cartels, that killed American border agents.
Okay, let's go to Ruben is calling in Carmel, and you're absolutely right. Hi, Ruben. Do you have a quick, or is that Ruben or Robin? Robin.
Robin.
Hi, Robin. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Yes, thank you for discussing these important issues tonight. I'm enjoying the program very much, and I did want to ask you a question about the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Right.
Which you've been talking about, and it's very relevant. I have just started really digging into this week and noticed today online that it has spread worldwide.
Well, this is part of a worldwide revolutionary movement. But, you see, I went through this during the Vietnam War. And
yes, so
basically, the anti-war movement was funded and financed and directed by the people who are behind the war. You want a controlled opposition, Robin. And we are beginning to see increasing violence here in America as a manifestation of this. And what we need to do is get people to understand what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Do you listen to our program regularly?
Oh, yes.
Okay, fine. Well, if you need to read my book and understand what's going on, we'll do a program on this specifically some evening. How's that?
Sounds like a good idea.
Goodbye. We're going to have to let you go.
Okay, bye.
Well, Stephen, you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program. It's been a great program tonight, incidentally.
Well, I appreciate that, but let me point out something.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades, these great United States.
The big banks and the big corporations, and most of the money did not come from the little guys. It came from the major corporations and financial interests. Certainly, Barack Obama put people from Goldman Sachs into many key positions in administration. And when Rahm Emanuel, the chief of staff, resigned, who did